Blog Talk Radio.
You know, you can take one step and change your life forever. For me, it was on Sunday evening, November 14th, 1965, when I stepped onto a Huey helicopter and flew into a small piece of hell on Earth called the Idrang Valley Landing Zone X-Ray. I had been in Vietnam for 7 months when I went into that battle, but I had never seen anything like this fight, nor have I seen anything like it since, and I thank God for that.
Listen, we're not meant to forget these things. We saw them, we participated in them. They're a part of our life, they're in our hearts, they're in our minds. We're not supposed to forget them, we're not supposed to have closure. If you have gone through something like that, as intense as that is, you don't ever forget it. You're not supposed to.
Following the first winter in 53, when I was there, those of us on the front lines, we just had the remnants of the clothing from the guys in the Pacific War. And everything was light. I didn't have a jacket or, a coat or anything else. I was in a bunker. And the guy that they put in with me was killed within about 15 minutes of us getting there. A bullet ricocheted off the ground and got him a boom, just like that.
I think about a lot of times, just some of the things that we went through that unbelievable. We were just young kids off farm, and sent you over. Had 17 weeks training before we went overseas. We did what we had to do, and whether we wanted to or not, it was we had to do it. It's hard to explain what, unless the person goes through it. You just can't imagine.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. 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 Until now. Now.
Shipmates, and welcome aboard this very special Veterans Day edition of the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where if you like your freedom, you can keep your freedom. Speaking of freedom, Veterans Day today, very happy Veterans Day to all my old and current shipmates out there. Once a shipmate, always a shipmate, so happy Veterans Day to you. Happy Veterans Day to all of those that, well, gave their ultimate sacrifice. They gave their lives so people in the government can take it away from you. No, that's not why they gave their lives. They gave their lives for the government, well, to stay out of the way and preserve that freedom for you. That's why they gave their ultimate sacrifice. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I just understand things. I don't know. But you hear it on the left. Oh, praise all the veterans. And, oh, yeah, we love the veterans. Yeah. They're just saying that because they want their votes. Well, they're not going to vote for you anyway because they're smarter than you. But you got to go out there because you're a politician. And the president regrets this day because he's got to go out and give thanks to people that he just doesn't like. He thanks everybody. Well, you know, only he can go out there and kill. It's his decision of who dies and who doesn't. It's not that he doesn't really like the military. He just wants his own military. He just wants his own killing force. The EPA, for God's sakes. The EPA? First of all, the EPA shouldn't carry a firearm to begin with on anything. You get a test tube and a clipboard. You don't get machine guns and sidearms and full body armor and swoop out of the trees in Chicken, Alaska to test the water of gold miners, for God's sakes. He's already talked about having this big, giant, huge civilian force just as capable as the military, which, again, me with the C word, the Constitution. I guess maybe if he was a real scholar, maybe he would have, well, been able to understand that that kind of force is, well, unconstitutional. But since we don't know what his test scores are, any of his college transcripts, because it probably says that he is, well, a foreign exchange student so he could get free college and pass. I don't buy it for 1 minute that he actually passed the bar exam. I don't buy that for one damn minute. Because he's a foreign exchange student. Oh, yeah, sure, you can pass the bar, no problem. Unbelievable. And now he's the president of the United States. You know, these veterans that went out and that are still out there, you got guys out there living in a foxhole right now. Imagine how they feel. I mean, here they are. They're in this foxhole. They're living in just, you know, just awful conditions. Fighting to protect, well, fighting against, I should say, the very people that, well, attacked us and want to continue to attack us. They don't like Americans. They want to kill us. And not in a very, well, nice manner either. They got to have their fun with you first. They like torture. We have enhanced interrogations. They have torture. Enhanced interrogations are designed to extract information. Torture is designed to inflict pain. And that's it. That's the difference between torture and enhanced interrogations. You liberals, especially you, Mr. McCain, you should know the difference between waterboarding, trying to get people's information, than what happened to you. I'm sorry, siding with the left on that for votes is just pathetic. And even if we did torture them, who gives a damn? What did they do to our men? Burned them, broke every damn bone in their body, tortured the hell out of them. After they finally died and they burned their bodies to a crisp and hung them upside down on a bridge so the entire town. Oh, this is before. Oh, that, no, that's right. Before they hung them and before they burned their bodies and hung them upside down on a bridge, you see, they dragged their bloody, beat up, God only knows if they were dead first or not, carcasses through the streets so everybody can spit on them and kick them and hit them and kill them that way. Yeah, those are nice people. Okay, that's torture. That's unnecessary. Splashing a little water in somebody's face to get them to cough up some information, well, big difference between that and actual real torture. There's also a big difference between a jihadist and a Republican. Maybe some of you Democrats need to understand that. Go up to a vet who was tortured, who was held captive, and tell him how the Republicans are, well, jihadists and terrorists. Tell him that. You got to save those kinds of words for well, the real people. There's a big difference between what we do and what they do. What we do to them, what they do to us. There's also a big difference between what we do to ourselves or allow our government to do to us. That's got to stop. I mean, enough is enough is enough is enough now. This administration has dug itself in so deep, it is impossible to get out. But the media is still behind them, so they're going to give them a pass. No matter how much these people complain about Obamacare, 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 they still can't see that it's coming from Obama. Yes, his poll numbers are dropping, but they'll still continue to support it and back a Democrat, no matter what. No matter how many of these people that their policies have failed miserably and hurt a lot of people, taking away a lot of people's jobs. Obviously, none of these liberals got their jobs taken away. I wonder why that is. What do they do? They go out and they find out in the industry? They do a poll, find out who's Republican, who's Democrat. Okay, that's a Republican plant. Shut that one down. Yeah, you're shut down. Virginia, I mean, they're taking away your livelihood. They're taking away your jobs left and right. They're leaving you with this pile of dog poo on your lap. Say, here you are. We took away that great health care plan that you have and that great, wonderful doctor that has seen you since your birth. That's all gone. Here's this now. Yeah, this is called Obamacare. Yeah, I know it smells a little funny, but don't worry about it. You'll get used to it. Oh, yeah, those extra dollars that you had in your wallet? Well, I'll just take those now. And you're still going to go out and vote for Terry McAuliffe, who wants to double down on this. Take away even more of your jobs. Turn your entire state into another Detroit. And you vote for him. What's the matter with you people? I know that the poll numbers were tight. And there still is that talk out there that it's, you know, there were some shenanigans. Well, of course there were shenanigans. You're dealing with the McAuliffes and the Clintons. I mean, you know that they're shenanigans. Whether they really do really get the majority of the vote or not, they're still shenanigans. But there should have been enough of you out there to overtake that. But you didn't. You either stayed at home or you like losing your job and your health care and your doctor and you're this and you're that. And you don't like your money because Harry Reid told you that you just can't wait to pay more taxes. Everybody it's what they want. That's what the people want. The people want more taxes. They tell me every day. They're calling me up. God almighty. I can't get any work done. I gotta listen to all these people who want to pay more. They just love paying more taxes. I mean, Harry Reid, what a stupid thing that was to say. What's the matter with you? When you people vote for this thing
What's the matter with you in Nevada? God. Hello? Wake up, America. Come on now. We can do better than this. We need to get rid of a lot of people on both sides of the aisle. Start at the top and just keep on going on down to the bottom. Just start wiping names off the list. Boom, 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 boom. Vote every damn one of them out. I don't care. There are some good ones in there. They're the youngins. They haven't been in Washington enough to long enough to get corrupt. We need to keep it that way. We need to get out the corruption. We have to vote it out. You people have to just suck it up. Vote for somebody other than Nancy Pelosi for once in your life. That woman is a moron. You cannot help but come to that conclusion when you listen to this woman speak, for God's sakes. Why would you vote for that? And then to be Speaker of the House is beyond pathetic. That's ridiculous. That's uncalled for. We got to do better than this, America. Come on. Come on, guys. All right, let's get into it right now. Let's open up my treasure chest here. See if we can strike any friggin' gold. I doubt it. Nothing but coal in this treasure chest as of late. 60 Minutes apologizes. Oh, yeah, with the Benghazi. I kind of, you know, this is a typical, this is exactly what happens when the administration is, well, when they don't like certain things with the news. So they can doctor up any kind of, they can doctor up anything they want to. And he already said that he told his commander that he lied anyway. Or he told somebody that he lied. Or he lied to his commander or something, said he was in his thing. Well, that was to keep him from getting in trouble. Because he went out and was trying to, well, help people. So, whether it's true or not is a distraction. Now the administration obviously is trying to undermine. I'm going to get into it later. Don't get me started now. We'll never get out of it. And I got a lot to talk about today, so I want to get going. And Richie Incognito, more with that, with Jay Glazer. I mean, these two stories here, I debated on which one I wanted to start first, but it doesn't really matter. The whole point is it gets right to the heart of our culture and our mindset in this country. There's a lot to be said with the 60 Minutes apology and a lot to be said with this whole Richie Incognito nonsense. So we're going to get into that. The president golfs while the world burns and blows. Unbelievable. And speaking of blows, in the wake of Typhoon Haiyan, actor George Clooney, well, I guess he could be considered an actor. He's in the movies. But actor George Clooney declares global warming skeptics to be stupid and ridiculous. Well, you know what, Mr. Clooney? That's what we think of you. You see, because we went out and actually studied and learned the science. And so when people who didn't take that time to learn the science call us stupid and ridiculous, we have no choice but to, well, laugh. You, sir, are stupid and ridiculous and a waste of time. I don't even know why the hell that story's in here, but I guess we got to cover the damn thing. GOP on Obamacare rollout. This is what betrayal looks like. Hello? Wakey, wakey time. We've been saying this since when? 2007? When this whole mess started? The moment he declared his candidacy, White House relying more on insurance carriers to help fix healthcare.gov. Of course, because they don't know what the hell they're doing. Somebody, please help me, fix me. That's our job. So we need to vote you out. Then we'll fix it. That's how you fix healthcare.gov. You vote people out of office, a lot of them. Starting with the very top dog. Texas Governor Rick Perry says that if Chris Christie runs for president, the GOP will likely have a conversation about the New Jersey governor's ideology. Oh, yeah, I like that. I like that. Them some fighting words. I like old Rick Perry, so we're going to find out what the hell's going on here. I like old Rick Perry. I like his... I don't know what the hell happened when he was running the last time. I mean, I don't know what the hell was going on. He started out great, man. The country was all behind him, and then he gets to the debate halfway through, falls asleep. Dude, wake up. You know, barely remember his name. Is what the hell? But I still like him. I think he's a good governor. We'll have to find out more, but I mean, he's got the right kind of attitude anyway. I'll put it that way. I think we can actually get things done with a guy like that in office. I think the people could come to him. He's a likable guy. So far, he seems pretty conservative. We need to limit government. That's what we need to do. We need to get more like-minded individuals in Congress that want to limit government so we can. Just voting new blood in there, that's not going to do anything. You got to vote the right blood. It's like you go into a hospital, you're bleeding to death, and you need a blood transfusion. Oh, yeah, we got all this blood. Look at this big, huge, giant tank of blood. Yeah, but it's the wrong type. So what happens when they put the wrong type of blood in you? Well, I'll let you figure that one out on your own. What do you think happens? Well, we don't need to just vote new blood in. We don't need to change things just to change things. We got to change the right things. But don't change it. Fix it. And if it's stupid, get rid of it. It's okay to take out the trash once in a while. Not for nothing. But like when you get, you got a storage room or... filled with stuff, well, that storage room starts, you know, overloading, becomes in the bedrooms and the kitchens and living rooms and attics. Garages are filled. I mean, you got a whole house filled with crap. Well, then you know what? You say, hey, we got to do some stuff here. Either take a lot of this stuff to the dump, give it away to the neighbors, or let's have a garage sale, but we got to get rid of it. You know, if we got to have a bonfire, fine. Well, that's what needs to happen. We need to take a lot of furniture to the dump. Put it that way. Colorado college job applications now feature the word queer. So you write down either your male, female, transgender, or queer. Okay. Yeah. Unbelievable the crap that it's got in the goddamn news, and I got to read this. This is ridiculous. I don't waste my time with this nonsense. Good God. All right, let's get into this. This mess today. 60 Minutes apology. Oh, jeez. You know what? When I watched it, you know, I knew everybody knew this was coming. You knew this was coming a few days ago. And they're apologizing. Let's just play this before I start talking. So, all right, this is a 60 Minutes interview, cut number one. Go ahead and go.
We were wrong. We made a mistake.
CBS's Lara Logan apologized for a 60 Minutes story on Benghazi. It relied heavily on a security contractor whose credibility has been compromised.
No, what's been compromised is the administration had a little talk with the CBS somebody, some mucky muck somewhere. Well, that mucky muck, he went running downhill, bitch slapping his way all the way down till he got to the Miss Logan there. Don't think for one second that this report or whatever. I mean, how do we know? It's with all of this stuff that we have been told from the very beginning of this whole Benghazi mess. How are we to believe that this report hasn't been doctored like all the talking points have been? How are we supposed to know? I don't believe that. And if you do believe, well, he's got, you know, two names, whatever his name is, Morgan Jones. If you do believe him, well, he said at the very beginning that he lied to his commanders and said that he was there, and he said that he was there because he didn't want to get in trouble. He was told, don't fight. Let them attack us. This whole mess just stinks. I don't know who to believe. I don't know whether to believe this guy or believe the administration or disbelieve all of them. That's my problem with this whole friggin' mess. It's Paul Fahey, post-media critic. What the hell is that? A media critic? What? Would you criticize news? That's our job. We're the citizens. On a newspaper, a Washington Post media critic? Why is he even being interviewed? I mean, he's a media critic? Come on. I mean, you know, the gardening critic? I mean, come on. I mean, what the hell is this? I mean, he does make a right point, though. 60 Minutes, well, didn't do their homework. So let's get to that one there. Let's listen to Paul Fahey, whatever his stupid name is. Let's go. Cut number two. Go ahead.
CBS says they investigated the story for a year, but didn't know this report existed.
For them to retract a story, to apologize for getting it wrong, is obviously an admission of the fact that they did not do their homework.
Well, look, they probably did do their homework. But see, this document now all of a sudden just happened to appear. I just don't know what to believe with this whole thing. This whole thing is a mess. I'm not saying that this Morgan Jones is squeaky clean. I don't know the man. I don't know anything about him. I got to take his word over the government's word, though. At this point, I have to take his word over the government's word. But since everybody has lied from the very beginning of this mess, I don't know who to believe. Damn it. Drop my headphones. Oh, well. What are you going to do? All right. We all set now? Jiminy Christmas. But I don't know who the hell to believe. This one here, the reason why I got this clip, I mean, it just confirms my suspicion even more. Let's put it that way. Confirms my suspicion even more that this so-called report that has been fixed. All right, let's just go ahead. This is again, Mr. Fahey. Go ahead, cut number three. Go ahead.
The critic.
What does this do to the overall narrative of Benghazi, the investigation into what happened?
For CBS and for 60 Minutes to get it wrong really does create a real question about the veracity of the story and the claims by conservatives about what actually happened in Benghazi.
See, you got to throw those conservatives in there for what happened. See, those conservatives were making it up. They were lying. And this guy here, he lied too. See, we got a report. We got a document that just showed up. Yeah, the government just brought it over. Look, it's right here. See, those conservatives, they were lying. They just made this whole thing up. It was about a video. I mean, this is just, don't tell me for a second that this administration did not have a conversation with CBS. Don't even come close to convincing me of that, because you can't know how people operate. Do I have any actual physical concrete proof? No. Is it my opinion? Yeah. Am I ashamed of that opinion? No. Do I believe it? Well, would I put any money down on it? Well, think about it. Until somebody can show me proof of anything, what else am I supposed to go on when all the evidence so far suggests all these things? We already know the talking points were run through a friggin' meat grinder. I mean, that was some down home cooking, boy. That's what that was. I mean, they were in there stirring that pot, boy. Woo, doggy. Now all of a sudden this document appears. It doesn't undermine a damn thing. And now this woman has to go out and apologize, you know for a fact. What might end up actually happening is 60 Minutes might have to actually go out and apologize for apologizing. What if this guy has some kind of proof that he could prove it? I mean, I don't know, but what if? What if this guy can prove it? What if there's pictures in the hospital of this guy? You know, surveillance cameras or whatnot. Oh, that's right. We didn't get there on time. So I'm sure that all that videotape has been taped over and, you know, burned or... See, if they'd have got there on time, well, I mean, actually, I don't want to use that word on time, but if they would have got there, period, maybe they would have been able to find out some information. Maybe we wouldn't have to be having these 60-minute interviews because we'd already know what happened. No, what happened. So far, all the people that have come out have all pretty much said the same thing. It was brave enough to come out. Now, this guy's a British citizen. They're doing everything they can to discredit him. And it's easy. Well, he's British. Well, this just seems like the government hand in producing these documents and discrediting somebody who actually went out there and told the truth. They're going to spend this much time and effort and resources on this guy. This kind of report probably should have been out a long time ago. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, didn't Congress get all these reports and stuff? Maybe not. Maybe Congress didn't get any of this stuff. You'd think they would, right? I mean, most transparent administration in American history? Don't you think that Congress would have had all these documents? Now all of a sudden they appear because this guy dared to tell the truth on 60 Minutes? We're going to have to get a hold of her. That Logan, you watch, her career's going to be over. It ain't going to take long, that girl. Well, she won't be working at any ABC, CBS, NBC. Maybe she'll get a job at Fox. Who knows? But she ain't going to be at 60 Minutes for very long. She's certainly not going to be on, you know, anything really to do with CBS for very long. They'll quietly get rid of her. It'll take a little while. They'll calm things down. And when no one's looking, she's gone. So update your resume there, Ms. Logan. You're about to get the axe. But it still begs the question, I mean, what if this guy actually is telling the truth? What if he can prove it? What if he's got some documents? Maybe this guy, he seems like a pretty smart guy. He seems pretty clever. He might have some information that might be able to prove his case. Then what? 60 Minutes is going to have to apologize for apologizing. The president's going to have to come out there, and he's going to have to do another spin job. Oh, yeah, we told you you can keep your plan, but it's only 5%. 5%? No. No, it's much higher than 5%. More likely when it's all said and done, 60-70%, and then when it's finally completed and finally completely, fully 100% implemented, it will be 100%. That's the point, that's the idea, that's the goal. All right, let's get into this interview here with Richie Incognito. Now, there are certain, first of all, you have to understand, at first, this never should have gotten out in the media anyway. Roger Goodell, never been a big fan. Yeah, he's done a couple of good things. Okay, fine, whatever. He's too much of a politician, and I don't like it. He should have done, he should have known better. Once this got out, he should have found a way to, well, quell this quickly. Instead, he flies off the friggin' handle because he reads some text, a private text, where there is no context in a text. You can't read context from a paper. You can't read it. You can't print it. Okay? You can't put it on ink. You can't draw a picture of it. And even if you were to be a fly on the wall and listen to it, unless you understand the context in which you need to know both people. And the only way to know both people and understand the context, well, you've got to spend a lot of time around them. Well, you probably don't have the time to spend it would take to learn the context. But yet, it doesn't take you very long to run your fat mouth. But yeah, I read the text, and to me, immediately, because I know that language, first of all. So I was able to understand that language right off the bat. There wasn't racist. It was funny. There was some funny stuff in there. I'm going to slap your real mama? I mean, that's funny. You know for a fact that anybody would get a text like that, any guy like that who understands that language and is speaking it with one of their buddies. You can't speak it to every guy. I mean, there's got to be a bond there in order to get to that level to speak that way to somebody. And once you get to that level, that's kind of a high level. Okay, there's a bond there. There's a connection. Okay, that's a friendship. You don't talk that way. You don't talk that demeaning to your enemies. Because if you do, it's just going to turn to fisticuffs immediately. Well, these are conversations that went on, and he put out, 1,100 of these damn things. And him doing the same thing. And this is the problem with the media. They don't understand the truth, but yet they report their opinions. Whoever got a hold of this, however this got to the media, is it just goes to show somebody's irresponsible. And then more irresponsible people, well, they take the ball and run with it. Look, whether it's on a text machine or they're actually physically in the locker room, it's still in the locker room. What happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. That's guy conversation. There's it's not demeaning. It's not racist. And when Richie Incognito said it's out of love, yeah, exactly what it is. So all these people over here, and even Jay Glazer, oh, it's racist, and I don't put up with that, I don't condone that. These are people are scared to lose their job, and that's pathetic. It doesn't matter what the word that you use is. It's what the context behind it is what matters. So you can use any word you want to. As long as the other person or persons around them are not taking it in a derogatory manner, then it's not derogatory. In order for it to be discriminating, it must first be given. If it's not given offensively, and you take it offensively, just it. You took it. In other words, you stole it. And you can't get any more ludicrous than stealing something that isn't there. And that's exactly what this irresponsible media did. And then everybody else has got to comment on it. Oh, they said the N-word. He did this. He did that. I'm going to slap your real mama. That's funny to me. To me, that would be laughing. If somebody sent me that text, I would be cracking up. You have to understand that language. It is a culture. That's their culture. It's not your culture. You're not in their culture. They don't tell you how to live your life in the frickin' suburbs. So you don't tell them how to live their lives in the locker room. Shut up. This never should have gotten out. And I'm sorry, but this commission, I'm sorry, but you did a bad job. You should have been able to be smart enough. You'd be supposedly being an NFL commissioner. You should be, you know, a little less obtuse on what the hell goes on in an NFL frickin' locker room. You should have known what this was about. And the Dolphins for releasing this guy? Come on. Oh, this is I mean, this whole thing stinks too. This is our culture. But he's afraid that there's this force out there, this invisible, politically correct force, Delta Force Commando Squadron. They're probably related to the EPA Delta Force Squad. They're so afraid, oh, they're going to lose their job. And if somebody does say something, well, somebody higher up, oh, they heard about it. Whoa, we got to fire him. You don't even know what the hell they said, what the context is, do you? No, you're an idiot. So I'm sick and tired of people, you know, backdooring the goddamn truth. The truth is this Wilson kid flipped, whatever his name is, Okay, he wigged out. He couldn't hack it. He couldn't take it. That's good. That's good for the game. It's good for the team. Like, I'm sorry, but if he couldn't take it, he's got to go. It's not good. You don't want the weak on your team. What happens when you got nothing but weak players? Well, all the other team, they got rid of their weak players, and now they got the strong players. Now what happens? Well, I think you can come to the conclusion. Look, for whatever reason, this guy wigged out. I don't know the full story. I'm sure there's probably a heck of a lot more to come, but everything out there thus far suggests to me that this guy just couldn't take it. And now Richie Incognito's got to take the brunt of it? And the Dolphins didn't even stand up for this guy? That tells me, I don't know. Man, that says a lot about the Dolphins, too. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to pick them anymore just based on that. Screw them. I didn't like that. Yeah, okay, fine. This Incognito's a dirty player. That's part of football, man. You need a few, you know. Baseball has their dirty players, too. That's part of the game. You always need at least one of them. Evens everything out. All right, let's get in here. Let's go with cut number one. This is Richie Incognito with Jay Glazer. Cut number one, good, go.
There was a voice message left. I'm going to read it to you. You did leave this voice message.
Yes, I did leave this voice message.
And it's, hey, what's up, you half N-word piece of black. I saw you on Twitter. You've been training 10 weeks. I want a blank in your mouth. I'm going to slap your blank mouth. Going to slap your real mother across the face. Laughter. You're still a rookie. I will kill you. You hear that. Going back to that now, do you look at that and say, I left that for Jonathan Martin?
When I see that voicemail, when I see those words come up across the screen, I'm embarrassed by it. I'm embarrassed by my actions. But what I want people to know is the way Jonathan and the rest of the offensive line and how our teammates, how we communicate, it's vulgar.
Exactly. Now, I don't like the fact that Richie Incognito said that he's embarrassed. I know, or whatever, ashamed or whatever. I know he probably had to say that. But you know what? It's BS. I wouldn't be embarrassed by it. It's funny. You have to understand the language. And if you don't understand the language, don't criticize it. That is a culture, that is a language that guys do have. If you were to ever hear, I mean, if these people were to hear just how me and my brother say hello to each other when we pick up the phone, oh, my God. I mean, you think, well, that's bad. Oh, no. Uh-uh. Now, does that mean that we're racist? Does that mean we're thisists? That we hate each other because we talk to each other like that? No. That is a language that men do speak with each other. There's a bond there. Now, depending on where you are, and you know, if you're in public, well, you know, you keep that kind of stuff, you know, at bay. But you're out camping in the woods. Oh man, it can get crazy. You know, you got some dive bar somewhere. You've been drinking all night. It can get real saucy, real salty, real dirty. Gritty, juicy. But it's not your language, and you shouldn't criticize it. And Roger Goodell should have understood that. The reporter, whoever reported this, should have understood that. But everybody's got to get that scoop. Everybody's got to point their finger and blame somebody for something. And the Miami Dolphins suspending this guy, I mean, I just find it just pathetic. I don't like this culture in this country. I find it just absolutely, it's an outrage is what it is. That we have to live in constant fear of this invisible political correct police force, if you will. Delta Force Commando Squadron for the political police, politically correct. I'm sick of this. Everybody's afraid that if they say the wrong thing, they're going to lose their job, they're going to do this, they're going to be ostracized from society. Good. God damn. Now they're calling him a racist and all this. This is just pathetic. I'm just sick of this crap. There is no excuse why this is even a news story. There's no reason for this. Look, I'm sorry, the guy couldn't hack it. He couldn't take it. Maybe this kid should have known that maybe he was screwed up. He's probably been screwed up for a long time and nobody paid attention. Well, it sounds to me like Richie Incognito took this kid under his wing and was doing everything he probably could to the guy. Yeah, when guys talk to each other that way, okay, it's not mean. It's not aggressive. It's not vulgar. It's not, you know, vulgar. Vulgarity is meant with the meaning of vulgar behind it. So if you say something that just on paper would be vulgar, there's no vulgarity in what he's saying. I understood exactly what he was saying. So, hey, where the hell are you? Give me a call. Before I go and slap your real mother. I think that's hilarious. I mean, I understood what he meant. I understood what he said. I did not, there was no racism in there. There was no animosity whatsoever in that text. There's no reason why Richie Incognito was not is not in uniform tonight. And Miami Dolphins are going to get their butts spanked tonight because of it. They're going to lose, and they're going to lose big by Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay is going to get their very first win tonight, and the Dolphins deserve to lose for this. Now, how the rest of the team? How are they supposed to feel? They're supposed to go, wait a minute now. This administration obviously didn't have Incognito's back. Are they going to have my back now? I didn't mean administration, this team, the organization. So if they're not going to have Incognito's back, they're certainly not going to have my back. Why the hell should I go out there and bust my hump out there on the field now? This organization's not going to have my back. They don't want the strong guys in there. They want the milquetoasts. They want the weenies. The little Nancy boys. I mean, how are these guys supposed to feel? I just can't see how the Miami Dolphins win. But they could use this as a You know, but I can't imagine this team is real pleased with their head coach. You know, that head coach, I mean, that guy's, he's the, I mean, he's everything, man. He's your mentor. He's your father. He's your teacher, your coach, your general, your friend. I mean, he wears a lot of hats. He's got a lot of guys on the team, so he's a busy boy. There is that tightness, that bond between player and coach. I can't imagine that bond very sticky anymore. I think water kind of took away some of its stickiness. I mean, that's just my take on it. Whether I'm right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent, doesn't matter. It is what it is. So let's go ahead. Let's go with cut number three. Go ahead. Go.
Well, that couldn't be farther from the truth. If I was a racist and I was bullying John Martin, when the press went in there and asked them questions, that locker room would have said, listen, we saw this, we saw that. I'm proud of my guys for having my back and telling the truth. But the fact of the matter is, when John left the team on Monday, we played a game on Thursday. I spoke with John on Friday.
But you spoke with him?
I texted with him. I text messaged. I just spoke with him through text message. And he texted me and said, I don't blame you guys. I blame some stuff in the locker room. I blame the culture.
Yeah, so he's over here blaming the culture. Oh, it's the poor little culture. It's this. It's that. No, it's not the culture to blame. It's you. Now, if you don't like the culture, okay, you can't blame the culture for that. The culture is the culture. It's like when you're out, you get yourself a nice, pretty little wife. She's pregnant. You need a house because you're going to have a family soon. So you go out shopping. Pick a neighborhood that you like, or do you pick a neighborhood that you don't like? You cannot tell me that this guy did not know the neighborhood that he was getting into before he got into it. I don't buy it. And he was into it long enough to know that if it was something that he really couldn't deal with, that he should have gone out a lot earlier. So again, I just can't, I can't help but just, this culture that we have in this, and again, it is, there is a culture there, but I'm talking about a different culture. The culture in the locker room is much different than the culture, let's say, at a bank, a school, a church. Every place has their own culture, their own language, their own way of life. Every state has its own way of life. Every people has its own way of life. Because it's not your way of life, you have to shut it down because you're too stupid to take the opportunity to learn the language before you criticize it. So you got to shut it down. You got to call this guy a racist now. Take away his job. Take away his opportunity to earn a living? Because he was actually doing this guy a favor? Having a conversation with him with that language is a bond that you can't just get to that point. You have to earn that point. You have to work at getting to that point before you have conversations like that. And that is a tight bond between guys when they talk to each other like that. If you're a woman, you don't understand it, okay, fine. You're not supposed to understand it. It has nothing to do with women or about women. We don't understand your stupid conversations. Nor do we want to. Believe me. My point is, women have their conversations, their way of life, their way of communicating with each other. We don't understand it. We're not supposed to understand it. We're not women. Those conversations are not for us, about us, or anything to do with us. We don't need to know them. It has nothing to do with us. That's a bonding and a ritual, and I don't know what the hell it is, but it's with them. They're women. Men have their conversations. Women have their conversations. It's okay to be different. It's okay, but I'm sorry, but it's okay for men and women to be different. Women have things that men don't, and men have things that women don't. I mean, my God, I feel like it's talking to kindergartners, for Christ's sakes. I'm just sick of this whole culture in our society that you're afraid. You can't speak anymore. You can't talk. And if you do, now you got to lose your job because somebody was too stupid to take the opportunity to actually learn the language before they criticize it. So here you are blasted all over the goddamn television and newspapers and internets. For what? Print a story? Somebody can get an interview? That's pathetic. All right, let's go ahead. Go with the last one here. I think it's kid number 5. Go.
No question. I'll give you, after this interview, I'll give you my phone, and we'll walk through all these texts.
Okay.
And I will show you the framework of a friendship.
Jonathan Martin was sitting right here next to you. What would you say to him?
I think I'd give him a big hug right now because we've been through so much, and I'd just be like, dude, what's going on? Why didn't you come to me? If he were to say, listen, you took it way too far. You hurt me. I would just apologize and explain to him exactly what I explained to you. And I apologize to his family that they took it as malicious, but I never meant.
Exactly. That got cut off, but what he said was, I never meant to hurt him. And he didn't. You can Google all this stuff you want to, but there's no sense of talking and turning this guy into, the poster child for bullies. He wasn't a bully. And to be called, even to use the word bully in a locker room, in an NFL locker room, I mean, come on. Let's stop with the word bully. Let's stop right there. There's no bullying. Just stop using that word. And now you got two kids fighting in grade school. Okay, boys are going to fight. That's just the way they are. You can't help it. Now, once they're bullied and they got to be kicked out of school, they got to go to, see a psychiatrist, and they got to get the police involved and arrest this 6-year-old kid. Putting handcuffs on children, I'm sorry, cops. You people are, you just don't get it. So many people, the same thing that you do to these other people, the exact same thing needs to happen to you before you finally get it. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to come around that often. Maybe I can put in a good word to your karma. Maybe they can have a visit with you. The point I'm trying to make is, and unless you want that same thing to happen to you, don't do it to somebody else. That's my point. Karma does have a very funny way of coming back and smacking you right in the ass when you least expect it. I'm just sick of this whole culture in this country. And now we got this administration. I'm sorry. They went and they had their conversation with 60 Minutes. I know it. I mean, I feel it. Is it 100% true that I can verify in a court of law and prove it? No. But I think if you take all the evidence and you put it all together on a table, I think you can come to the same conclusion. Which you probably didn't need me to get to that conclusion before you already came up with it anyway. Obama golfs 150th round as Superstorm devastates the Philippines. And Iran develops a nuclear bomb. Okay. So the world's blowing to hell with hurricanes. Iran's about to blow Israel off the face of the map. President Obama's approval ratings may be stuck in a sand trap. Oh, isn't that clever? But that has not deterred him from sticking to his weekly round of golf. Well, we can't keep, the president. Yes, but golf. God, my throat is killing me. After teeing off Saturday at the private course in Florida, where the movie Caddyshack was filmed, Mr. Obama hit the milestone number of 150 golf rounds in less than 5 years in the White House. Well, that's a number to be proud of. Gee, Ma, look what I won. Oh, gee, son, that's wonderful. The Secret Service loaded Mr. Obama's golf bag emblazoned with the presidential seal into the motorcade Saturday morning to head to the private Grande Oaks Golf Club in Davie, sporting a blue polo shirt, tan slacks, and a cap. He looked sharp. Every girl loves a sharp-dressed man. Woohoo! Obama, whatever happened to that Obama girl? Oh, that's right, she turned on him. She turned on him a long time ago. Mr. Obama spent 5 hours on the private golf course with former NBA star Alonzo Mourning, his friend Cyrus Walker, and former U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kurt. I wonder what the hell kind of what the hell they got going on there. But got to get those NBA stars, you know. I'm surprised, where was Jay-Z at? How come Jay-Z wasn't on the golf course? Whatever happened to him? Was Obama dissing Jay-Z now? Perhaps time on the links, well, gave them time to discuss all the people that, you know, who would lose their insurance, you know, and reflect on all the lives that have been lost. All the lives that have been destroyed because they lost their jobs. All the lives have been destroyed now because people are going to have to get an extra job or go on food stamps just to pay for friggin' health care. When it's all said and done, there's going to be more people uninsured than are insured, and it's going to cost the government trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. So now is the time to fight. We don't wait till we get a new Congress and president and repeal something that... Then what? Now what do people do? By the time we wait, these insurance companies aren't going to be in business anymore. Then what? Now we're going to have to start all over. Get new insurance companies. Then what? We're still going to be in limbo. Nobody's going to have insurance for a long time. We need to repeal this now. We need an emergency congressional session and repeal this bill now. Take it to court, first of all. If it hasn't been implemented 100% complete, then it's void. And it must be repealed. You have to follow the law the way the law is written, or it's not void. That has to be a legitimate argument in Supreme Court. I'm not a lawyer, but my God. Maybe the Supreme Court can get it right this time. Justice Roberts, you paying attention there, Chief? Lost a lot of respect for you, dude. I don't, Chief Justice or no, I don't give a damn about that robe. You can put on as many robes as you want to. What you did, sir, was a bad thing. You screwed a lot of people over, Chief Justice. You got to sleep with you every night. I don't. There's a lot of people going to sleep now. They're very worried, very concerned. They don't know what the hell to do, and you put them there. You had an opportunity to take them out of hell, and you threw them in and shut the door after. Becky, I'm sorry, but I can't give you any respect. You don't deserve it. What you did was a very bad thing, very wrong. You should have thought before you acted, but you didn't. Either that, or somebody got to you. Maybe they paid you either by money or by this or by that or some other form of compensation. That'd be something. Now we got James Carville. Tells President Obama to go back and try a crack pipe. Well, that wasn't, he heard that joke. I heard that earlier from somebody else. But the whole point was that, you know, maybe if he smoked crack, you know, he might get his approval ratings up. Because this jack wagon there in Canada, Toronto mayor, smoking crack and getting drunk and wanting to kill people on videos. And his poll numbers are up. His poll numbers are higher than Obama's. So I don't believe a damn thing James Carville says anyway. First of all, I don't find him to be a stand-up man. I don't find him to be funny. He says a lot of things that I can't respect what he says. So I really don't pay him a whole lot of never mind anyway. And who cares? And now we got actor George Clooney. Oh, God. Declares that global warming skeptics are stupid and ridiculous. Well, we've already covered the fact that, Mr. Clooney, you are stupid and you are ridiculous. Clooney made the remarks to reporters on the eve of Typhoon Haiyan hitting the Philippines. He was attending the BAFTA. Oh, God, what is that? Britannia Awards in Beverly Hills. Don't you think it would be in Britain? So he goes on and says, well, it's just a stupid argument. Says on the red carpet. Oh, yeah. If you have 99% of doc tell you you are sick and 1% that says you're fine, you probably want to hang out with them. Check it up for the 99. What? He goes on and says, you know what I mean? No, I don't know what the hell you mean. What the frig are you talking about? There aren't 99% of doctors out there or scientists out there saying that there's global warming. More say that there isn't than there is. And the ones that do say there is are saying that there is so they can get government grants. All they got to do is just produce some cockamamie story and they get facts and figures and twist them around to make them look any way they want them to look. They turn it in. Here you are. Give me my check. I mean, it's pathetic. This government is giving these people, there shouldn't be any grants on global warming, first of all. We've already got the data. We already know. Want to spend money on some kind of study? Okay, fine. But you're not going to get very much. Because American people don't deserve to have all of their tax dollars going into something that, well, has been proven time after time after time after time again to not be, well, true. So don't give me this, Mr. Clooney, that 99%, there they are with that 99% crap again. The 1%, the 99%, what is with this 99% crap? What the hell does that even mean, this 99%? It's 1%. Well, they're really rich. Okay, fine. Okay, there's always going to be a top 1% of anything. So what? Oh, God. I mean, doesn't anybody think anymore? Why do we got stuff like this? Why do we have people like George Clooney? And another one of his phony, just pathetic little activist trips. I'm just sick and tired of people with their activism. Look, there's nothing wrong with being an activist. There's nothing wrong with going out and working for something that you really feel. This and all that and global warming. It's just, I'll do this and I'll do that. It's just shut up. And it's so phony to sit here and watch these people just go on and on about all this and all that. Then they use starving kids, and I'm not saying that, you know, some of these people aren't actually doing some good work. There's a lot of celebrities that do a lot of good work. I'm not saying that George Clooney doesn't do good work with his charities and whatnot, but I don't know. But I don't believe these people when they're talking to me. That's the problem. I don't believe a damn thing they're telling me. I don't believe this administration. I don't believe anybody telling me anything. It's not that I'm a pessimist. It's just that, well, when I get told this, this, and this, and this, and then to come to find out later that it's that, 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 and that, and that, and this is done repeatedly, over and over and over again, year after year after year after year, eventually you have to eventually wake up and say, wait a minute. Okay, there's a lot of people lying. I don't know who to believe with this Benghazi mess. I gotta go with the Brit. I don't buy for a second that document wasn't doctored. And if I remember correctly, I think he did tell his superior that that's where he was. Maybe there's some pictures. Maybe there's some proof somewhere in a hospital that he actually was there. I don't know why, but I got a feeling that this guy's going to produce some information, some kind of proof. And now 60 Minutes is going to have to apologize, and the president's got a little bit more explaining to do, or a little more spinning to do, I should say. But these guys are on the automatic spin cycle. I mean, these guys just can't help themselves. They're going to turn into a hurricane. They're going to turn into a tornado, for God's sakes. So, he says he finds this to be the most ridiculous argument ever. No, we find the thought of this of global warming is a ridiculous argument ever. Clooney added that he was unsure whether global warming was responsible for the typhoon that devastated the Philippines. See, they're afraid to talk now, because if they do, then somebody else in the media is going to say this, somebody else is going to say that, then they're going to lose credibility, and it's going to go back and forth, so they can't say anything yet. Number one, they don't know. Number two, it's false. And they know it's false, but they're going to come out here and blame global warming anyway. The fact that they're bringing that up will tell people, well, since he brought that up, well, it's got to be global warming. That brings hurricanes. Oh, yeah, that's what's happening. A Climate Depot special report has found scientists have rejected any link to man-made global warming. Storm expert Brian McNulty of University of Miami. We don't get to pick and choose which storms are enhanced by a warmer climate and which ones aren't. Correct. Professor Roger Pielke Jr., Philippine Met Service predicted max 18-foot surge from Typhoon Haiyan. So Anderson Cooper's show of CNN off by 22 to 32 feet. Oops. Oopsie-daisy. Anderson Cooper. Philippine Met Service. Some of the reports of wind speeds were exaggerated. Oh, no. They don't exaggerate those numbers. No, they gotta make it look good for television. 30-mile-an-hour winds, 130-mile-an-hour winds. Real science website. Media incorrect to claim the most powerful hurricane ever. Haiyan was only a Category 4 at landfall. Weather officials said Haiyan had sustained winds of 147 miles an hour. By those measurements, Haiyan would be comparable to a strong Category 4 in the U.S., nearly in the top category, A5. So, maybe these winds weren't really 200. See, it was big. That's why they, and it did have a perfect circle, so maybe that's why they were doing that. Over, what does he say, meteorologist Ryan Mao. Over past 1,000 years, Philippines have been hit by 10 to 20,000 tropical cyclones. Don't be so arrogant to believe man caused Haiyan. Oh, God. You know what? Here's what caused the frickin' storm. Let it go. Global warming doesn't exist. Man did not create it. Polar bears are not dying. The planet is not melting. We are going to live to see another day tomorrow. So drink and be merry and have a great day. Ah, looks like my brother's on here with a football report. Let's find out what the hell's going on. Hey, are you online yet? Are you hear me?
Hey, Deke.
I told you.
No, I told you nothing.
I told you the Cowboys were going to lose last night. I called it. New Orleans.
Yeah, right. Hey, listen, you're going to have to be on speaker. My phone didn't take a charge again last night. I don't know why.
Well,
thing's broken.
It's really annoying. It buzzes, too.
You know what? Accept it. Learn to live with it.
No,
it's like global warming.
No, it's getting louder.
Oh, okay. Well, because I sat down.
No, the buzzing
anyway,
is louder. The buzzing is getting louder.
San Francisco sucks. That was good to see. Right?
Yeah, you're cutting in and out, man. I can't barely make out a thing you're saying.
All right, man. Don't fix it.
You're garbling, too.
I have to deal with it this way, then.
Are you there? I can hear you better now. You were garbling. There was a buzzing. It was terrible.
You're garbling. I took you off speaker. I'll have to deal with it. Yeah. Anyways, quite a day. And I got my butt kicked, didn't I?
Actually.
Yes. You can go ahead and say yes.
Well, I did some figures. Me and Mom tied, and we beat you by one.
Well, that's not bad, then.
You,
I'll accept that.
You missed 7, and we missed 6.
Jeez, we've never been that bad. That's got to be the worst day ever.
Well, there was a lot of there were some upsets. I don't know what the hell happened with Houston.
Well, San Francisco, I don't know about them. Which is nice to see. I'm glad they lost, but they shouldn't have. Rams, they shouldn't have won. All kinds of stuff went on.
Yeah, how about them Rams?
How about them? Good for them. I'm okay with it, but it shouldn't have happened.
Now I got problems here with this pulling this up. Let me see if I can. I'm trying to pull up the schedule again. It won't let me. It says there's problems with it or something. This stupid thing. What a mess. God only knows what the hell's wrong with this. But in any event, I don't know why it won't pull it up. But no, hey, look, there's and what I wanted to say, there's some teams that you mildly trusted and could always trust. It's a little different in the second half. Like Cowboys, well, you really can't trust them anymore.
No, you've never could to begin with, but still, they could have won that game.
Right.
They just chose not to.
Well, you can't trust Green Bay anymore because they're hurt. They don't have any quarterback. They might have to get to Tebow here.
Tebow, Favre, bring him back.
Bring back Favre, man. Absolutely. Bring back the Favre. But there was another couple teams. There was another team. It won't let me pull this up for whatever reason. I can't figure this out.
Well, the Colts fell apart, obviously, with the Rams. That definitely shouldn't have happened. But if you look at the game, all it was a lot of luck on it's kind of funny. A lot of luck on the Rams side. They didn't really outplay the Colts. They just took advantage of the mistakes that the Colts made.
Well, you know, it goes – I got this thing finally back up again. I don't know what the hell happened. But it goes to show you that there is a chunk in the armor – missing in Indianapolis. They can, when they lose in a very monumental way, and they lose a team that they shouldn't lose to. But they're beating teams that they really shouldn't be beaten. I mean, Houston.
All the elite teams.
Well, here's another team, Houston. That's another team that I can't put any I cannot trust them anymore. Carolina, you know, I might start picking Carolina here. They're turning around.
They're trying to. I don't have faith in them, but
no, I don't have any faith in them. But
they're worth a pick or two.
They're worth if you're going to decide Carolina, let's say over Arizona, Carolina over St. Louis, Carolina over, you know, maybe even like Tennessee. You know, you're going to go ahead, you know, Tampa. But I still think Tampa Bay, they're going to win their first football game tomorrow.
I think they win tonight. I think they win tonight. I think they do.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole Richie Incognito. Now, did you watch? You missed it. And I'm telling you, I am.
Did you see the interview?
I've been talking about it all day on the show here. I played all this stuff. And it's. Look, there was, you know, that I'm going to slap your real mama in the face. My God, that is hilarious. I think that I understand what he meant by it. All he meant was, hey, dude, where are you? Give me a call. That's exactly what he meant. You know, of course, it, you know, it was very colorful, but that's just how people talk. So,
well, it's locker room talk. And
exactly.
perhaps I wasn't there, but perhaps he might have went a little too far. So what?
Well,
you and I, when in some of our conversations, we go a little too far.
Yeah, but as Martin writes back and says, look, that day that he left, he says, I'm not blaming you guys. It's not you.
I know. It's
just the culture. So why then, knowing full well, why then is Richie Incognito the face of this? Why did he get suspended from Miami, which I got a problem with Miami with the organization, what they did. I think they handled it wrong. I think Roger Goodell handled it wrong. There should not be an investigation. It should have been hush-hush. I think the reporter who reported it handled it wrong.
Yeah. They made news out of no news. They should have just shut up and go away.
Look, this guy, for whatever reason, hey, look, I think it's good for the game, and I think it's good for the team. He couldn't hack it. So you got to weed out the weak, man. I'm sorry, but if you can't take it, you got to go somewhere else, man. Go.
Black girls don't play the game.
You know. Maybe this guy's had problems from, you know, since high school. Maybe he's got, I don't know, he's probably on Prozac or whatever. I mean, I don't know what the hell is.
They talked to his high school coach. His high school coach said, yeah, if anybody was going to be pushed around, bullied around, whatever, however you want to word it, this Martin would be the one.
Oh, okay.
He's a tough guy, but
no,
this is coming from his high school coach, so.
Yeah, so, well, it just sounds to me a lot like of a whole lot of hullabaloo.
It's no news.
Yeah.
It's no news. It should have never made it this far.
But now Richie Incognito, because of all this politically correct invisible police squad out there, is now out of a job.
Yeah, it's garbage.
Well, I think somebody should be picking him up. Raiders, they could always use somebody. I wouldn't mind having him in Seattle. I wouldn't mind seeing that. He might be a good job in Denver.
Could not need anybody, man. Seattle's just, wow, the way they played yesterday was amazing.
Yeah, well, they finally picked it up. But Dallas, how about putting Richie Incognito on the front line there and protecting Romo? Don't you think maybe Romo might then be able to get at least a couple of passes off?
Yeah, you know, they could use him. And Jones would spend the money. He'd do it. So.
Jones would take a guy like this, absolutely. That's what Dallas needs. Dallas needs a little
They do.
You know, they need some fire, man. Seattle finally picked it up and started playing some football. And, yeah, I know Atlanta's no longer Atlanta, but they still got that core there. They're still a pretty good football team. They just haven't been playing.
They're still a team. But, yeah, you're right. They're not what they used to be. But so neither was Tampa, and Seattle had some trouble with them. So.
Yeah, they Tampa is hungry, man. They're going to be scrapping at every game.
I'm telling you, tonight they're gonna show us something.
Well, I think
probably way wrong, but they should anyways.
Well, I'd like to see Tampa come out on fire and just completely take advantage of Miami and just throw touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. And Miami deserves to lose now the rest of the season for what they did. Now, here's what I'm – and I said this earlier. Just think if you're on that team. Let's just say you're one of these players. And every one of these players came to Incognito's defense. They didn't come to Martin's defense. Black ones, white ones, green ones, white ones, blue ones, they all did. So let's say you're on the team. You're on Miami. Excuse me for my voice. These allergies are killing me, man. I've just got a bad attack. So anyway, you're on this team. And you just seen what happened. That this organization is not standing behind Richie Incognito. So who's to say, are they going to stand behind me now? Do I really want to go out there now and bust my hump and to win when I know this organization isn't going to have my back? I mean, that's how I take it anyway. I don't know. What do you
think? Pretty pathetic. That's all I have to say. Anyways, let's go over the games. Give me a list.
All right. Washington at Minnesota on Thursday. I picked Minnesota and won. You picked Washington and lost.
We don't need to rub stuff in. Let's just go.
Then yesterday, Seattle at Atlanta. We both picked Seattle. We both won. Detroit at Chicago. You won and I didn't. How about that? That was a nail biter. There was some pretty good. Did you see any highlights?
A little bit. A few, they were pretty standard. But that was a good tight. Those two are pretty equal, team wise.
Well,
it looked like
a good
game.
It looked like Cutler was he was back. It looked like he was. He didn't seem to have any. I didn't get a chance to see the whole game, just what I saw. It looked like he's got his form back. He's ready to go.
I didn't expect that, but, yeah, he is definitely
What was he out for anyway? What was he out for?
Brain surgery. I don't know.
They're always out for something. Philadelphia at Green Bay. We both picked Philadelphia. Mom picked Green Bay. I couldn't. I wanted to. Yeah,
I did too, but you can't. You can't anymore.
No, you can't. You can't.
They're missing lots of parts.
Philadelphia with that backup.
Yeah.
He's got a charge in the team. You know what's going to happen is
Vic's got a starting job now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think Vic is going to find himself on the bench. And he's got a multi-billion-dollar contract, and Philadelphia deserves to lose that.
Philadelphia's own. Absolutely. They deserve
it. I give them not one ounce of sympathy. They deserve to lose every one of those $1 million. Jacksonville at Tennessee, I mean, who really gives a damn? Jacksonville wins the game.
Yeah, they did.
And let me see. Is that their first win or their second win? I think that might be their second win.
Ooh, I think that's their first. I think it's their first.
Hold on. Yes, it is. I'm looking at it right now. It's their first win. Congratulations, Jacksonville. You got your first win. Now Tampa Bay can get their first win tonight. So
I see that coming tonight.
I do. What I see is a very high-scoring, ass-whooping Miami. They had one of their favorite guys on the team. Everybody seemed to like him. You know, yeah, he's a little dirty, but, you know, everybody loved the guy. Now he's kicked off.
What?
You know, I just can't see Miami going out there wanting to win one for the Gipper. You know, I can't see it. Let's see. Well, St. Louis and Indianapolis, everybody lost that. If you were in Vegas, you know. So I think it ended up being 38-8. It was a monumental. And then Oakland at Giants. Hey, Oakland was fighting, weren't they?
I didn't see anything on that. Who ended up?
I was catching highlights going back and forth, and Oakland was actually, you know, they were keeping up, and then finally Giants just got ahead, and that was it. Giants win the game. So we all three, the Giants. I wanted to pick Oakland, but something just told me they were in New York, and I just
New York was a safe bet, but I would
I just need
to see Oakland win.
I just smelt a win there. So Buffalo at Pittsburgh. I went Pittsburgh. You went Buffalo. Pittsburgh won the football game.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? The beef's gone. See, now, Buffalo started out the season the first 2 or 3 weeks actually pretty good. You can't trust them now.
They're every done. Season they do it. Every right. season. They're just like the Lions. They just start off beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and then they
mm-hmm.
then they become a standard, substandard team. And it's just
well, see, Minnesota used to do that too, but now Minnesota, they can't get off the friggin' ground, man. That team is awful. They're awful. Tennessee.
They better just pray for next season.
Well, I had higher hopes for Tennessee than what they've actually delivered this year, so.
Yeah, I put them about mid, somewhere around the 500 range, but
I don't think they're going to get to 500 this year. I don't think they're going to do it.
I don't think so either. They got some problems.
Cincinnati at Baltimore. As soon as you think Baltimore's down, they rise up and beat the living hell out of the Bengals yesterday. So we all
Cincinnati
lost.
Is on a roll.
Not anymore.
It was a safe pick, but they
it was overtime. They won in overtime. So when it goes to overtime, it's one team has to win. But I mean, well, it is what it is. It's, you know. But then Carolina at San Francisco, and I got to watch
that was beautiful.
I got to watch the last, I think about the last 10 minutes, 13 minutes of the fourth quarter. And
what did they end up, 10-9? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it was
football game. Baseball.
No, Carolina, their offense, I'm sorry, Cam Newton he's not Elvis. Let's just put it that way. Kaepernick. He had a tough day yesterday. He couldn't get anything done. At the end of the game, Carolina had the momentum. They sacked him, and then interception, and then that was it. The game was over. San Francisco they didn't seem there wasn't any urgency out there, and they're at home. You would think being at home, you got the crowd. Hey, let's go out here and score some touchdowns. They probably went out.
My guess is that was more of a fluke. That was not. San Francisco will bounce back from that. I'm positive of it. But,
well,
it's nice to see them lose because that helps the Seahawks. So,
well, here's the thing. See, now San Francisco is now two games back, which means that if San Francisco is going to overtake Seattle in the division, Seattle has to lose 3 games and San Francisco has to win 3 games. Now, I don't see that happening. So, again, like I told you on week 3, Seattle won the division on week 3 when San Francisco lost their second game in week 3. So that's where I stand with that. So, you're cutting in and out again.
What?
I said you're cutting in and out again. What kind of phone are
I'm
you
not.
On? Yes, you are.
Perfect. No, I'm not. Keep going.
You're cutting out from my end. Well, Carolina, San Francisco, Houston at Arizona. Well, Arizona. We all picked Houston, and we all lost. So
did Arizona win?
Yeah, 27-24, and they pulled it off.
You
they
are
were
kidding.
Losing. Yeah, they pulled it out. They dug in. They were losing. They had a fourth quarter comeback, and they held on to the lead. And rest is history.
Holy crap! All right,
and
well, good for them. They needed to win at least one.
And I cannot trust. I cannot trust Houston anymore.
Houston's not. Man, I'd like to see him come back, though. I'm kind of a fan. But,
well,
I'd
like
they
to
are
see
what they are.
I can't trust them. And then last night, the Denver game, Denver at San Diego, and Denver was holding their own. Boy, they They keep, now here's another thing. Now next week they play Chiefs. Peyton Manning, Kurt, is hurt, man. He went down. His knee is shot. Both of his ankles are shot. He's hurt.
Don't count on it, man.
Kurt.
They've got the best freaking doctors coming from everywhere right now.
Peyton Manning is taped up, raped up.
I don't care.
I mean, he is
I'm
hurt.
You, Elway's got the best doctors from Spain, Portugal, wherever. They're on their way right now.
Portugal
will be fixed up.
Trust no
I don't know. I don't know why I said that.
Spain?
Do they even have doctors? I don't know.
Hell no. They're still living in caves, man. But look, I mean, Peyton Manning, still Peyton Manning. He's got two broken ankles. He can still throw as many touchdowns as he wants to.
Put him in a wheelchair and
But what I'm saying is he is hurt. So that might be something to think about. And I think
Kansas City hasn't played anybody yet. They're going to be in for a rude awakening. They actually have to play football.
Well, I'm still picking. I mean, Denver is a better team than even though the record doesn't say so. But Denver is a stronger team. They played more people, more teams, I should say. Bigger teams, better teams. Of course, Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning.
I'll jump the gun and I'll stick with Denver on this one. I think they're gonna. Saints are going to have to play ball, and they haven't had to yet.
Well, I think they're going to win only because, you know, Peyton Manning is going to be a little hurt. He'll never admit it. He'll come out there. You won't even know he's hurt. But, we're just going to have to find out. I want to see the game. I want it to be the 8:30 game. I don't know what it is. It's definitely going to be the game of the week. I think it's what it is. And something tells me that Kansas City could end up if Kansas City loses, they lose by a lot. If they win,
yeah, it's going to be big.
But if they win by just a small margin. I'll put
it's
it that
tight.
Way.
Tight. Yeah. Tight if they win.
I don't see KC blowing out Denver. I don't see that happening.
No chance.
And then
we'll get to that when we get to that.
And then the last game last night, Dallas in New Orleans. I picked New Orleans.
Yeah.
You picked Dallas, and you lost.
Yeah, I did. Do I go back to never picking them again?
See,
I don't know.
This is it. Now watch.
They screw me no matter what I do.
Next week they're going to come out and they're going to win.
It depends on whether I pick them or not. I tell you, if I pick them, it lose. They win. Well, but then if I don't, they win. So
I know, right?
I'm not even a fan of them. It's just they seem to be this little wart in our picks. It just bothers you.
Well, I think, the Cowboys are living off their name of being America's team. And
that's fine.
Good
for them.
And at one point they were. Now, here you have Jerry Jones, who took over everything. I mean, he sweeps the floors, he makes the coffee, he makes all the deals, he does everything. So I think that's why you don't really have – and then they get this coach, I don't know who he is. He looks like he's 13.
The kid,
He looks like a child.
He's a kid.
I'm sure he's a good guy, and I'm sure he's probably a pretty good coach. But
yeah, probably smart. Nothing against him. He's just a kid, man.
Dallas needs a name coach, and they need a tough guy. They need an ass whooper. They need a tough guy. They need to get in there. Gruden, I think, would be a good –
Gruden or Cowher.
But I don't think –
Gruden or Cowher.
I don't think Cowher would get along with Jerry Jones. I think Gruden would.
No chance. Yeah, Gruden would just shut up, Jerry.
Well, right, yeah. No, but Gruden would be able to handle it. Cowher, Jerry Jones. Those two, I just can't see them two getting along. But I can see
Cowher would kill Jones.
But see, you know, the problem that I'm having, and it goes along with Richie Incognito and all this. I mean, I just see the league being, I mean, I'm not saying they're ready for skirts and heels, but it just seems that they're trying to do everything they
pussified.
Yeah, they just seem to be.
It's politically correct crap, and it's wrong. Just play ball. Play stupid ball.
Look, there's just too many. Exactly, there's too many people are getting involved in it that don't have anything to do with the game. Now, I'm sorry, if you don't have anything to do with the game and you don't like the violent aspect of the game, all right, fine. Don't watch it.
To watch tennis.
I think the league is doing as best a job as they possibly can to minimize, you know, some of these injuries. And they understand it. It's, look, hey,
that's great.
You got concussions. Yeah, you're going to get them. But the league is doing everything they can. There's really not much you can do other than don't play the game if you're that concerned with getting a concussion.
Absolutely. Turn the channel. Don't watch it.
You know, I do feel sorry for a lot
just
of these.
Just play ball.
Terry Bradshaw, he's got concussions. Tony Dorsett now.
When I was watching, I had a concussion every day. It's part of the game.
But it's other things that they're doing. Not so much, you know, that. It's just the whole culture. It's going to come to a point where it's not going to be tackle football. They're going to have to do something else. They're going to have to change the game or, you know, the whole league is going to be dismantled.
Here's one way to solve it. What happens in the locker room stays in the locker room.
Exactly. If you
don't like Vegas.
If you don't like the game, then don't turn it on.
Absolutely. You know, anyways, I got to go.
All right, that's about it. We'll see you Friday, and we'll go over the next.
You'll talk to me, though.
Well, I can see you through the screen here. I got you on the secret spy cameras.
Yeah.
Obama.
All right.
No, that's about it. Thanks for calling. We'll see you later.
Damn
it. All right, let's get back to business here. Nice talking about some football. We only got a couple of minutes here before we go to Vamoose. What the hell else we got here? What the hell else? Obamacare rollout. This is what betrayal looks like. Yes, we already know. Blah, 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 blah. At an event on Friday, what is this? Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius said the administration is looking at a number of options to help people who are losing health coverage due to Obamacare. But she added that there is no specific proposal just yet. What the hell are they looking into? We're looking into a number of options? So in other words, you're trying to figure out how to spin it. Is that what you mean, Cat? Miss Sebelius? Bull as in bull? Jesus, God. I mean, these people, they just... Oh, we feel so sorry for these people. You don't feel sorry for them. You put them there. But I don't feel sorry for this Kathleen Sebelius either. Cat. She knew exactly what the hell she was signing up for. I don't buy this nonsense. She's a fall guy. She was hired to be the fall gal, and she gladly accepted the job. And if she didn't, well, look, honey, you got yourself snookered. You deserve it. I don't feel sorry for you. You didn't read the bill, but you went out selling it. Then you were told the talking point of, well, they can't keep their insurance, and how are we going to spend it? Oh, yeah, they're getting a better plan. It's only just a few people.
Mm-hmm.
That 5% is a pretty big 5%. It's going to end up being more like 45% at the beginning, then it's going to quickly go to 60, 70, 80, 90, and then finally 100. Actually, it'll be 99% because the top 1%, the mucky mucks, they won't be in it. White House relying more on insurance carriers to help fix their little healthcare.gov. They can't do it. These people are just, I mean, the incompetence is, I mean, it's at every freaking level. 3 years and $1 billion should build you one hell of a website. I mean, am I wrong? course I'm not wrong. The White House is increasing its reliance on insurers by accepting their technical help in efforts to repair the problem-ridden online health insurance marketplace and prioritizing customers' ability to buy plans directly from the carriers. They don't know how to do this. They don't know how to implement their own frickin' bill. These people are pathetic. Yet another reason why it needs to be immediately repealed. Look, if we don't repeal it now, it could get to a point where we will never be able to repeal it. It will be just a complete disaster. Nobody's going to end up having health care. Won't that be embarrassing then, won't it, Ms. Landrieu? The Obama administration's broader cooperation with insurers, totally misspelled. Whoever wrote this was an idiot. Acknowledgement that the Federal Insurance Exchange, fraught with software and hardware flaws that have frustrated many Americans trying to buy coverage, might not be working smoothly by the target date of November 30th. Whoa, wait a minute. But they said, damn it, November 30th. November 30th is coming, and it's going to be the healthcare.gov will not work by November 30th. Not this year, next year, or the year after. White House officials reject the idea that the strategy represents a contingency plan in the event that the online systems continues to falter. We are working 24/7 to ensure that the site is working smoothly for the vast majority of users. Vast majority. What happened to all? And what does that mean, vast majority? Vast majority of what? Of all Americans or vast majority of the people that you want to count? Is that what you mean by vast majority? Yeah, I do. I don't speak your language, but I do understand it. So when they say vast majority, it's the vast majority of people that they want to consider in the calculation, in the enumeration. That 5%, that small 5% of people that are losing their health insurance, they're going to get a better one, much better, because we designed the health care plans and we designed the good ones. Really? Is that why people go on there and they all say that they suck? Is that why? I'm just going by what people say. I'm not going by my language. I haven't been on it. I refuse to go on it. I'm not going to put my information on that website. I really don't care. I'm not giving the government nothing. I don't care. Come and get me. What else is in this stupid argument? Should the administration remains confident that the site healthcare.gov will be ready by the end of the month and that the White House always envisioned insurers, direct enrollment of customers would be important to law's success. No, you're just making that up. This is awful. This is just, God almighty. I mean, I'm tired of listening to this crap. It's these kind of stupid stories. It's just a waste of time. Look. Here's the bottom line. They don't know what they're doing. They're incompetent. We knew they were incompetent. Far too many people weren't competent enough to realize that these people were incompetent. They voted for it. We now got it. And we have to find a way, well, to get rid of it. We're not going to, if we can't get it from our leaders, we got to vote out the leaders and put the right leaders in to get rid of it. No more of these delays. This whole thing needs to just go. Before it's too late. Once you get to a certain point, then it's really going to be a mess and nobody's ever going to be able to have insurance for quite a while. You think really you're going to have people coming into the United States to become doctors? Think anybody in the United States is going to become a doctor? Hell no. And the ones that are in it, they're going to get out of it. Oh no, that's never going to happen. Really? It's already happening. All right, we got time for one more story, and then I got to get the hell out of here. I'm just fed up with too many people. It's Veterans Day. I shouldn't be in a sour mood. But these people just pissed me off in the very beginning. I woke up this morning. I'm just sick of it. I'm always sick of it. But today, I just, I don't know. Texas Governor Rick Perry says that if Chris Christie runs for president, the GOP will likely have a conversation about the New Jersey governor's ideology. I'm not a real big Chris Christie fan. I guess he's doing a pretty good job for New Jersey. I know it's just a state over there. President, my problem is I don't want people that forcibly trying to appease the other side. And what I mean by the other side is by people who disagree with you. I don't want that in a president. I want a president that has a mind of his own. I want a president that's going to be able to say something, make a mind of his own, and let the people decide whether they like it or not. Let the people decide whether they want to vote for this guy or not. Don't go out after him. I don't like that part of politics. He was a successful governor, Mr. Perry says, in New Jersey. Now, does that transcend to the country? Well, we'll see in later years and months to come. Is a conservative in New Jersey a conservative in the rest of the country? We'll have that discussion at an appropriate time, Mr. Perry says. Well, you might be right, Mr. Governor. I kind of agree with you on that. A conservative is a conservative or they're not. I don't find Chris Christie a conservative conservative. I find him a convenient conservative. We don't need any more convenient conservatives. We need the inconvenient conservatives, meaning we need people conservative when it's very inconvenient. Those are the times where it really counts, but it counts the most. Now is the time to be inconveniently conservative. It's not inconvenient to us. It's inconvenient to those who just can't simply see the light. We need to get under their craw. Screw them. They've been under our craw. They've been under my craw my entire life. We need a turnaround. Perry, whose 2012 presidential bid was, well, derailed, to say the least. On and on and on. Second chances are what Americans have always been about, Mr. Perry says, and he's right. A lot of presidents have lost elections, but they came back. Sometimes it isn't how you win or how you lose. It's what you do after you lose, what you do after you win. It's the after game that can count. Perry praised fellow Texan Senator Ted Cruz, another possible 2016 rival, for his marathon filibuster, President Barack Obama's Affordable Care Act. I certainly enjoyed 21 hours of him standing up and pointing out the foibles and problems of Obamacare. I do like Governor Perry. I do like Rick Perry. I was a little disappointed in his bid last year. What the hell happened? I don't know. Maybe he's been through rehab. I'd like to see him try again. Somebody's got to give him, you know, caffeine pills or something. Give him a cup of coffee. Keep him awake for these debates. And I think he'd do a good job. He is conservative. He's conservative all the time. We don't need any of these people that only want to be conservative when it's convenient. Because when it's not and we really need you, you're nowhere to be found. And therefore, we're stuck with things like Obamacare. But yet they come out and they complain about Obamacare? Well, where the hell were they? Yeah. You were nowhere to be found. Too many people like you is why we've got too many things like this. Stay in New Jersey, Mr. Christie. You do a great job in New Jersey. We don't need you. We don't need you prime time. You do a good enough job in New Jersey. Stay there, please. You're a good governor in New Jersey. I tip my hat. But New Jersey's not the United States. Colorado College. Time for one more. We don't really have any time. Oh, couldn't get to the story about the college job application that features male, female, transgender, or queer. So, leaving with that. Anyway, event. Have a very happy Veterans Day. If you see a veteran today, shake their hand and thank them for their service for you. And if you are a veteran, happy Veterans Day. And we will see you back here tomorrow morning at 10. Goodbye.